The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Coming up this hour, Steve Fezzik in studio, as well as Dr. Bob with his college football play. Steve on week four in the National Football League. Chris Felica, the Bear, standing by from Fox Sports to talk all things football as well. We get tweets at Beat in the Book. I haven't read any tweets today. My God, what's wrong with me? This is from Roger Jones at Brocco Wins. He said, you guys mentioned a fellow last segment, Will Levis. Is he any relation to ill-advised Billy Levis? Yes, he is, in fact. Direct relation to him. Rick Ollier, I'm just glad that Drew Dinsick's fish committed suicide before he had to watch whatever that was last night. That game was so bad. So bad. NFL product. But this happened last year, right? There was a couple weeks last year early also that were like this. And then once they sort of had their preseason during the regular season, things started to pick up. So I expect that to happen again as well. Trip Tepper, Drew's fish had Baylor moneyline last weekend against Colorado. Jeff G, give me that hook, says they have no plans on canceling this Braves game tonight. None. To be honest, we were extremely lucky that Hurricane Helene tracked just a tad further east when it moved up through Metro Atlanta. They plan and win in tonight, gentlemen. Hashtag chop. Jeff G, a big Braves fan, apparently. And then, on the Megapod, John Fitzgibbon saying the dying battery on Gil's computer brought out a sense of urgency from the guys yesterday. Yeah, we had a good time on the Megapod, as always, with Drew. Check it out on the Beating the Book feed. He is the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports. He, of course, does Big Noon Saturdays on Fox Sports College Football, but he also has his podcast, the Bear Bets Pods, both college and pro football. It's Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
Not much. I was expecting before when you were giving out the bet of the week there, you hear a little Sade playing in the background, a little smooth operator.
Oh, no.
Maybe get that cleared for next week for your.
Are you going to sing every time you come on here? Is that a new thing?
Well, you got Wishnev sing on one show every time on the Megapod. So I guess I need to step my game up, right?
I like how you're workshopping things that are allowed on the Megapod, like singing and cursing, and you've already tried both of those now here on.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what I can do.
Yes.
To kind of work my way further down the guest power ranking list.
Oh,
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was killing your girl Iga. I was questioning Shohei Ohtani one time. But like, what else can I do to try and work my way down? And we know Dr. Bob is one, so it's just a question of who's filling in the podium spots after him.
Well, Dr. Bob will tell you if you're unsure about that, let him tell it. He's number one on this. No, you're always good with us, even though, yeah, you're
Thank
right.
You.
Your most recent performances have been downgrades, but we still love you.
Thank you.
College football this weekend. Let me just start with the marquee match, Georgia and Alabama. Get your thoughts on that before we get to your picks.
Yeah, I'm liking Georgia more and more as the week goes on. I know Humphreys is out with mono. I think they're going to get some defensive linemen back in the rotation, which will be key. Bama's offense has really been boom or bust this year. I mean, the Georgia secondary with Starks, I think, is good. And I still have questions about Alabama. Like I said, the offense has been boom or bust so far. You look at who they played. USF, South Florida had guys running open. They just missed out on some big plays. Wisconsin played with the backup quarterback. That game was over the minute Tyler Van Dyke got hurt. I don't know. And you go back with Kirby Smart, they've won something like 20 straight games with more than 7 days worth of rest, whether it's been a season opener or an idle week or a bowl game. And look, I know Alabama has the extra week off as well, but it feels like the type of game that Kirby Smart kind of has circled to kind of show Kalen DeBoer, like, oh, this is our league now that Nick Saban's gone from Alabama. So wouldn't be surprised if you see Carson Beck let it rip tomorrow. Delp and some other guys have a big game. I'm liking the dogs more and more, laying the 1.5 as the week goes on.
Yeah, he says he's liking the dogs, DAWGS, not like the dog here, just to be clear. Right. What a great sports weekend with baseball going on, then Georgia-Alabama on Saturday, obviously the NFL on Sunday, if the NFL can get it together. What did you end up with your best bets in college football?
Oregon team total over 39.5. I think the juice has gone up, unfortunately, since I played it. But look, this is a an Oregon offense that they had a week off. The last time we saw the Ducks, they played their best football of the year in the Civil War game against Oregon State. UCLA, they got shredded at home the last time they played at home against Indiana. They went to LSU last week in the heat and humidity. Now they have to come back to the Rose Bowl and face an Oregon team that I don't think, if they get up, are really going to take their foot off the gas. Dante Moore, the Oregon backup quarterback now, was at UCLA last year. I think that they will let him play, keep the playbook open. They will let him score points. So Oregon team total over 30.5. I took Minnesota plus 10 against Michigan. Yes, I know Minnesota gave up what was 300 yards rushing last week to Iowa. So of course, I'm going to take them against a team that's basically going to follow the same game plan as Iowa had last week. But Alex Orji can't throw. I'm not sure if Colson Loveland is going to play for Michigan. In fact, this is double digits. I'm going to take Minnesota to cover in a really low scoring, kind of ugly looking game. I took Penn State minus 18 against Illinois as well. I continue to work my way around the Big Ten here. Illinois, I know they hung around Nebraska last week and got that win on Friday night. I just feel like Penn State has more offensive weapons that if they can get up multiple scores in Illinois, the Illini really are not in position to come back from multiple scores down. And, of course, there's that great note that Ralph Michaels originated back before that West Virginia game about Penn State in 2020, 17-0-1 against the number when they're favored by between 7 and 24 points. So this game falls into that mold. This is the type of game that James Franklin usually finds a way to cover, whether it's a blowout or with a late cover as well. So I laid the points with Penn State. And then another game, which, again, I hate myself for doing it, but anytime you can take a team that's allowed 104 points in the last 2 weeks, you got to do it. I'm taking Purdue plus the 10 against Nebraska. Not sure about Nebraska laying double digits on the road. And it was weird. That Purdue game last week against Oregon State, they were betting Purdue like they knew the final score. Like that game, I think it hit two at some point, and then Beavers obviously won going away. But Purdue coming back and home against the Nebraska offense and Nebraska defense that might be struggling a little bit after kind of giving away a game at home last week. I took the Boilers plus the
All right, let's review those again. Oregon, Penn State.
Oregon team total over.
Oregon team total over. Penn State laying the wood. Purdue plus the points. And the other two were?
Minnesota plus the points.
Minnesota plus the points. Did I leave out a fifth? I thought there were five in there.
No.
Okay,
no,
just
no,
those four. By the way, you bring up James Franklin. Any coach in college football more acutely aware of the spread than James Franklin at Penn State?
No, he is number one with the bullet. There are others, but he is absolutely. I think Lincoln Riley is a guy who's aware of the number as well. It's just watching him and the way they score points late. I think Josh Heupel is someone who I don't know if he's aware of the number or not. I think he just wants to score every time he has the ball. But James Franklin is definitely the answer to that question.
Yeah, taking over the mantle from, let's say, Bill Snyder at Kansas State all those years, probably, who was clearly aware all those years. Okay, let's go to the National Football League. Obviously, you do a pro football podcast as well. By the way, do you enjoy doing one more than the other? Because I know, obviously, your bread and butter is college football on Saturdays on Fox.
I love doing them both. I've actually enjoyed doing the NFL one a little bit more this year, just because I've actually had more success in the NFL than I have in college football this year, which is pretty amazing. Like my picks column on Fox Sports, I'm like under 500 in college, but I'm over 500 in the NFL. And the fact that this year, just because of our schedule and Sammy P having his new show from 9 to noon and when we record, we've actually had John Murray on every Thursday on the NFL pod. So he's been great in giving his takes from that side of the counter as well. And John, of course, is a sarcastic, dry sense of humor like a lot of us. So, yeah, so having John on has made the NFL a lot of fun. The NFL, I fell on two things this week. The Cardinals minus 3.5, just because I know you hate me for that. But I know the Commanders haven't punted it since the week one game. But at the same time, Jamar Chase had a huge game last week. I know I just heard Kelly talking about how Marvin Harrison Jr. has been limited. But I think this Cardinals offense, after kind of having a subpar game at home last week against the Lions, I think they bounce back in a big way. And I'm going to lay it with the Niners. That was an awful, terrible, disgusting loss that they had against the Rams last week. But this Patriots team is not good. I think Kittle's coming back. I think Ward's coming back. We saw how great Brock Purdy was last week. I would expect this to be a get-right game for the 49ers. If you look at the schedule down the road, it gets a little tougher. So they got to have this game. So I laid the points with the Cardinals, laid the points with the Niners. I was expecting before we segued over to the NFL to get a shot or no shot question from you.
You want to do it? Let's do it.
I thought I was going to get shot or shot. Shot or no shot.
Shot or no shot. Let's do shot or no shot since you're such a big fan. Shot or no shot, but you have to give me 20-second answers to all three of these. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Shot or no shot. Miami wins a national championship. Your alma mater.
There's a shot. I mean, they're one of the teams now with the transfer portal. They've got the depth to do it, and there's a good chance they win the ACC, and they're sitting there in the semifinals with the top four seed. Shot? Great shot? I don't know, but there is a shot.
Okay, how about a team will go undefeated in college football this season? Shot or no shot?
Shot, and I think Ohio State and Texas are the most likely teams to do that just because Texas has Georgia at home and Ohio State outside of that game at Oregon. I think they're clearly better than everybody else on their schedule.
Can I give you a layup for the final one? Shot or no shot? Arch Manning wins a Heisman Trophy.
No shot. No shot. He will not be the – he may start. He may start this week. But once they have the Red River game and they have Georgia game, when you're really that better.
How about beyond this year? Yes or no?
No.
No, not even beyond this year. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Palika, the Bear from Fox Sports. We'll come back. Steve Fezzik in studio next, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com is number one. This is if you're typing it out. The number one, stbet.com. Firstbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander live from Circa, the Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been at this resort casino maybe 5 million times, but somehow got off on the wrong floor today and was desperately searching for the studio. I'm glad you found us.
It's like Jeff Spicoli. It's like this new schedule is like totally confusing. I'm used to going to the D.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. By the way, when I introduce you like that, you know there's always someone out there who always objects to me, he won it in the year, you know, Eisenhower. He won it during the Eisenhower administration, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, Jeff Madsen will relate because he was like the World Series poker player of the year back like 20 years ago. And like I won the South Point twice. I was a two-time Stardust Invitational. I won the Leroy's College Football Challenge. So like I was, if only I knew then what I know now, like I was just running luckier than God, you know? And so your natural reaction, well, this can't all just be chance. Yes.
Before we go on to some other stuff, so that luck thing. So we call you in our group thread that we have with Wishnev and Will Hill and Felica. We call you the biggest luck box we've ever. So now this doesn't take away from how good you are at what you do either. But you are both good and the luckiest bettor I've ever witnessed in my life. Stuff, like I'm talking about stuff, like, let's take a situation that's happening in a game, right? Oh, you need a field goal. Oh, you don't need them to kick field goal. Oh, you need them to get the fourth down. Oh, you don't need them to get the fourth down. Stuff that happens to mere mortals like myself, and I'll speak for most of the audience, where we're like, okay, this never goes our way. It goes your way seemingly every time.
So like famously, like I'm laying -7.5 and my team's losing the entire game.
Yes.
Like down 10. And then out of nowhere, like it's double overtime and my team's up 8. You know, it's like, how does that possibly, no one else would have a chance to win. But to be honest, I would quantify, I ran better than anybody from like 1995 to 2006. Then I ran terrible from like 2000, all the way through 2012. Then 2012 to 2017, I had 5 years. I would argue I ran horrendous for 5 years. Since then, I'm back to running better than anybody.
That's incredible.
It's just, it's unbelievable. It's like, it's been a three-way roller coaster, up, down, up.
Yeah. Most people, I can name you years where I was great and then years where everything went against me. But you have like these chunks. of time.
When I became a father for 5 years, it was just such a mad. I got married and had a child. And for 5 years, I just was discombobulated. It just was such a sudden shock to the system.
Well, you know, that's probably should be your priority in those years, I think.
Probably a good thing.
The big brained child that you have is doing wonderful things, we should say. Okay. Let's talk about one of the things that you've done here. You're kind enough to come in every Friday. And one of the things that you've done, which has been great, is not just the week itself that we're talking, that we're heading into, the weekend that we're heading into, but the coming week, you have been great at sort of isolating some look-aheads for us.
Yeah, so a bear, an actuary, and a pioneer all come into Circa.
That's Buddhist man's joke today.
Yes. So yeah. Who's going to win the most money in the casino? Well, the bear and the pioneer, unless the actuary like gets to look ahead in his crystal ball. And you know what? I'd rather play checkers than chess. I'd rather look to give you winners week 5 into virgin lines than week 4 into settled lines.
By the way, the bear is Chris Velika. The pioneer is Dr. Bob. You are the actuary in the middle.
I just think you were
an actuary by trade. Right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a fellow in the Society of Actuaries. Yeah, which is like highest designation. So absolutely.
A fellow, are you?
Okay.
So what do you like in week 5?
So let's take a look at the Green Bay Packers. By the way, Jordan Love, not only is he a top 10 quarterback, I'd say you could easily slide him in the top 5 quarterback. Now, the question is, how healthy is he? Of course, I just go on my pure power ratings. On a neutral, I make the game 5.5. There's going to be a lot of dudes in L.A. with those ugly yellow hats that they have. You know, look. I'm not sure what's going on there, but Green Bay is going to represent in L.A. I can't give L.A. more, even with the travel, more than 1.5, and that's generous for home field. So 5.5 minus 1.5. 4.
There you
4.
Go.
And so I'm laying 3. This is at DraftKings. That would be my best bet for week 5.
Oh, was that your boop, 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 boop? Was that what you were trying
there,
to do?
That's what I'm looking for.
All right. And there was another one you like a week 5 too, right?
Yeah. So, but wait, I'm not supposed to disclose what these lines are, but you won't know what these lines are when you're doing guessing lines because they'll have changed.
Yes.
So this is kind of a little, it will not affect
me from Sunday to Monday. No.
It's kind of like when they ask jurors, how can it not affect you? You heard it. You know, disregard these lines.
Wait,
Steve
you
Fezzik.
Think I'm listening right now?
Disregard any line. Yeah. Steve Fezzik is saying, Cowboys Steelers, I think the Steelers are better than the Cowboys, and they're catching one. That just can't be right. So go ahead and give me Pittsburgh week 5 catching the 1 point.
Okay. So a look ahead again from Steve Fezzik. Yeah, we do this every week. What about this weekend itself? Is there a bet that you like above all?
Yes. So, this is a really, really ugly one.
Oh,
so
boy.
We are going to look to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars? Jaguars?
Wires? Yeah. Either way.
So let's do a comp here. All right. So the best team in the NFL I have is the Buffalo Bills right now. Number one in my power ratings. I have Houston like number 15, and I'm actually some people have them even lower.
You have Buffalo 1 and Houston 15.
And I thought I was going to be on an island low. I actually have Houston higher than everyone else. There's like a bunch. There's an aggregator. Imagine that. Someone aggregates power ratings. So they take mine. They take Rufus Peabody, Massey Peabody lines. They take Cleve T.A.'s lines. They take everybody's lines.
Yeah.
And they say, here's the average. And they actually have Buffalo like 6 points better than Houston, which I was shocked by. I mean, Buffalo's better, but maybe I have them by 2.5.
I think these power ratings are horrific.
I lean to my power ratings.
Okay.
But I have Buffalo 2.5 points better than Houston. So here's where I'm going.
That's reasonable.
If you wanted to bet against the Jaguars, why not have played Buffalo last week -4? Buffalo, who's really good, rather than play a much inferior team with Houston, and now you're laying 6. So you're laying 1.5 or 2 more points with a team that's 3 points worse. Now, I know the Jaguars couldn't play a lick, and they were terrible. So we downgrade them. But you know what? My experience has been, I know we want to say, oh, they're a touchdown worse than what I thought. The most I like to ever move a team is 2 points. And I moved Jacksonville 2 points. And based upon those power ratings, absolutely value with Jacksonville. And when the media calls you out and says you're terrible, inevitably, that's the time a team doesn't quit and they show up and play hard.
Jaguars, please, for God's sakes, not Jaguars.
Jaguars.
We have this discussion off air because it comes up from time to time. Oh, how long do folks who model the NFL, how long do they keep their priors? And you asked me, and I immediately said, I go, oh, the pat response is always 4 weeks, right? Always that. You have a different opinion of that.
Yeah, well, it's a declining scale, obviously.
Yes.
All right, but I'd say over a year. Like, literally, I can get to week 16.
Over a year?
Over a year. Because, well, think about
this. Isn't that Meshuggah, though?
With that Meshuggah term again.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I gotta break out my thesaurus and my dictionary whenever I listen to you.
Yiddish. If a team stinks for 4 months, you're still not giving that full credence?
Correct. I'll go as far as, like, even in baseball. Like, we played 162 games, and I would still say a few of the priors, like the Blue Jays, who were terrible this year, all year long, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably a bad example because anyone who anchored the Blue Jays to their initial number. Let me give an example of why the market agrees with me, by the way. Okay. Look at Jacksonville. Their season win right now, before the season started, was 8.5. They're horrendous. They're 0-3. It's still 6.5. They're still staying anchored to the fact that Jacksonville is basically a 500 team. Now, I disagree with that. I like Jacksonville under 6.5, a little bonus bet for season wins, and you can still play that at Caesars and DraftKings and some other places. But in general, I would say that even like week 9, 10, 11, the odds makers, baseball and football, they stay true. When they calculate like a season win the rest of the year, they're basically projecting that team to win based upon their pre-flop, preseason win percentages.
Yeah.
That I disagree with as well. But I would say by like week 10, typically I'd say it's like 2/3 this year, 1/3 the anchor to start the year.
No, truly, this will sound nuts to most people listening because we all remember certain seasons. Remember when Cleveland was terrible and books just kept getting crushed by because they kept covering, I think.
The Cleveland famously for 2 years, they won the season. They won no games and then they won two games. But yet every week.
Yes.
The sharps would, and they weren't covering.
The sharps kept pounding.
And they kept losing.
Yes.
Week after week after week. And they would like have the ball first and goal on the one the end of a half. And they would do a Sirianni and not score.
I remember 1 year Rufus kept saying, I think it was a year after Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. He kept saying how good they were. And I finally lost it on the Megabot. I'm like, they're terrible. And they really did stink. Right. So, I mean, I think we remember those situations. But what you're saying is, I mean, it's worked for you through the years to do it your way.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And really, team by team. Now, you have a general principle rule, but some teams are different than other teams. I mean, the Vikings, we had no idea how good the Vikings were going to be. Yeah. All right. And I think it's fair to say that, well, Darnold's capable and we've got O'Connell's a great coach and we need to massively move off of our pre-flop anchor with the Vikings. It was just wrong.
Oh, OK. So you at least you do have some conscience about
yes.
it. OK, that makes me feel a little better. More with Steve Fezzik. I'll say it again, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. On the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik alongside here on a Football Friday. Dr. Bob still to come. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I'm being scolded in one of these tweets. And I think it's an appropriate scolding. This is from the real Mike Alasco. He said the 1962 Mets were 40-120, not 42-120. They did not make up two games. Make sure you get it right. You're right, Mike Alasco. I should make sure. So the White Sox are 39-120. They got three games left. The 62 Mets were 40-120. As you pointed out off air, Steve, that was part of the reason why the 69 Mets were called the Amazing Mets.
Because they were amazingly bad, and somehow in the same decade, hey, we could put a man on the moon in the 60s. The Mets can win the World Series. Ron Swoboda, Cleon Jones, Tom Seaver.
Wow.
That was great pitching staff. Not very good team. And then they went back in 73 to the World Series. So just a great run for the Metropolitans.
You can name 60s and 70s baseball lineups better than you can tell people what happened yesterday, right?
I'm not sure who won the World Series last year. It's just scary how well baseball I used to love. By the way, I got
Texas Rangers, by the way, in case you're scoring at home.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
The only team they could beat would be like a team like Arizona. I'd be remiss not to mention. So I listened to podcasts throughout the week and I listened to the Megapod and I got to give accolades. This is like one of the greatest sports betting pods I've ever heard.
Oh, you're very nice. Thank you very much.
It's reminiscent. Yeah. I remember a review of Bruce Springsteen. This is in the 70s where a Rolling Stones author goes to see him like in a local club and he's down. He's like just seen like four other bands and they've sucked. And I've listened to four other like pods from sports betting pros. And I'm just like, I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm like, what am I doing with my time. I am not entertained, as they say in Gladiator. Are you not entertained? I'm not entertained. And then literally I got to see the battle against the barbarians scene from Gladiator, the Wishnev, a Will Hill, just spectacular. The whale swimming around there.
Yeah.
It was anything from being gouged in pricing to being gouged in sprinkles with sprinkling of tips of sharp bedding. I was entertained.
I hope you were entertained and you were informed as well. Todd Wishnev and Will Hill, awesome to have them each and every week. And of course, the guest like yourself who came on week one, always so generous with their time and insights. And we have a ball doing it. It's every Thursday, the Megapod. That was very nice of you, Stevie. I did not know.
Only because it is fully deserved. So don't miss this one. Really good.
Thank you. Beating the Book of Megapod, where all podcasts are distributed. I want to talk about Survivor. You are out of Survivor, as am I, and you hate yourself.
I'm terrible.
I'm soaked in self-loathing.
There is no self-loathing. There is no excuse. I completely misplayed. I'm like Walter Brown, former U.S. Chess Open. One time he lost to like a 1600, and he's like, it's an incredible situation. I make this move, and I'm winning, and I know this is the right move, and somehow I miss it, and I made this move. What am I doing? So last week, there was five big favorites. Six and a half point favorites plus or minus one. So which one do we take? Well, we handicap all the individual games and we take the one we like the best, right? Wrong. What we do is we realize the Thursday game is always underrepresented. People kind of want to do all the research and in all their contests. And I'm the first one to say I don't like using the Thursday game because it locks in my other four picks. But that's not the case in Survivor. There's one pick. Survive in advance. 14 million, Gilly. That's life-changing money.
Yes, it is.
And it's obvious you take the Jets because it's going to be underrepresented. Only like 500 people are going to take the Jets and like 1,200 people are going to take Cleveland or Cincinnati or the Raiders and the like. So because of that, the top four picks all lose. The fit number five pick, the Jets win. And I should have been on the Jets. I'll make the case. Everyone who remains in Survivor, well, not everyone, but a whole bunch of them, they were pretty funky in what they chose weeks one and two. Maybe sharp, maybe not so sharp. But week three, this is the sharpest group of survivors you will ever see because this was the optimal path to take the path of least resistance. And it'll be interesting now how many of these people are going to take kind of a funky, quirky path the rest of the way. Because now, think about this. They're already on the funky, quirky path, and they might duplicate more than you might ever expect.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are probably sharp, but I think you're giving credit. Too much credit to all 642. I think there's a lot of luck involved.
I think week one and two completely random, but there was no luck week three. You had to play the Jets. I didn't do it, and I played badly. I was horrible.
I've never seen you hate yourself so much. For a guy who doesn't often hate himself, you really hate yourself.
Dollars.
Okay, well, for those who are still involved in it now, we were talking about this with Crack yesterday. He's with a partner. He has one entry.
I got
with
a piece of crack.
You have a piece of crack?
I'm a survivor.
Oh, no.
Order the jacket, baby.
Dude, you got to, if they win, you can't do the picture with the check anymore. Like, you're just an investor.
If I'm getting the check,
oh,
I can be in the picture.
You're a ridiculous human being. So if you
go, crack, go,
okay.
Go.
So now do you have any say in what they pick, or are you just a silent guy?
He asked me, but it's okay. But I'm a silent guy.
He asked you, so I'll ask you now. San Francisco is the biggest favorite on the board, but you have to assume, maybe you shouldn't assume, but I would assume that most people are going to take the Niners. There is no Christmas or Thanksgiving consideration. So Crack's thing is Crack wants to play the Niners, but his partner says, oh no, we shouldn't do that. I'm kind of with his partner, but I don't know if I would have the onions to do that. What do you advocate?
I'm already out. And I don't have a big enough opinion, whatever I believe in Crack. So get us a winner, Bill.
Okay. So you're not going to chime in on the
thing. I would play Niners, but it's, I would be fine going contrarian.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also talked briefly about this website, Survivor Sweat. We gave them a big plug yesterday. Good for those guys for coming up with this. This is like a auction house for entries that are still alive in Survivor. For people who want to invest in it.
I would call these CSOs.
CSOs.
Collateralized Survivor Options.
Okay. Collateralized Survivor Options. Otherwise known as, Steve is really trying to make that term stick. Otherwise known as your opportunity to invest at varying percentages of the entries that are still alive in Circa Survivor. And the big revelation, and I'm curious, because you are a guy who is always looking to invest. You're very clever about the percentage on the dollar that you are willing to invest.
80%.
So 80%.
If a survivor, on average, they're worth $22,000. If you, that's how much. So I didn't lose $14 million. I only lost $22,000 with my boneheaded mistake. So if you want to collateralize some of that value, instead of like doing the Joe Pita method where you stay up all night and you hedge like 18 games a week.
You hate the Joe Pita method. I know you do.
It's so inefficient. It makes sense. Joe Pita's method makes sense in a no vig world, but in a vig world, it doesn't make sense in my opinion. But what does make sense is just collateralize 10% of your survivor. Don't give away all of it, but just say, you know what? My 10% of my 22,000 is do the do thing.
What is it? 10% of your
10% of your, that's it.
Yeah.
2,200.
Yeah.
All right. So 2,200. So why not? Hey, I can go ahead and get back 2,200, lock that in, minus a small commission fee, like a 15 to 20%. So I'll give you 10% of me for 2,000. Now, that's what I would expect to happen, but this isn't happening.
And I think Joe Pita would agree that the cleanest way to hedge is to have people, you know, purchase a percentage of it.
But people want to sweat. So now this is breaking a numbers game news. People are paying not 80 cents on the dollar. They're paying $1.03 on the dollar.
That's correct. This is what we talked about yesterday. This was the big revelation that not only it's not at a discount, it's at a markup. And so this is absolutely mind-boggling. Like, you would never buy somebody's a percentage of an entry for that, would you?
I wouldn't have last year, but I had a revelation. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe for marketing purposes and for just, you know, to discuss your brand, that it might be make sense to buy in as an investor, even at a slight premium, and then be able to say, like, I never say I was a Circus Survivor winner. I never, ever say that, although I did order the jacket, which I thought was complimentary.
Did order the jacket, Steve.
I thought it was complimentary, and the dude
measured
my chest and my arms, and then when he asked for $800, it's not.
You sort of got hoodwinked into the jacket.
It's a good looking jacket. Well, you know.
Let me define what you're saying, because people are like, your brand. What are you talking about? You're talking about Steve Fezzik, public figure.
Yes.
For your brand, you want to be a part of it, period.
Think about how smart this is. It's like Mitch Moss, last man standing, won a major contest. Okay. Kenny White's daughter wins last man standing. Very important to your brand to have a contest win, at a minimum of one. And so there's people who have never won a contest. And so you would think they'd be paying through the nose to try to invest in a survivor and get that as a part of their brand.
But I don't think an investment is the same as you originally.
Of course it isn't. Of course not.
Yeah, but you seem to believe it would matter, though.
I think it does matter.
An investment would?
It would matter
to your bankroll if you won, but to your brand? Like, I don't think, would you go around saying, I mean, are you going around touting your investment from last year?
Well, I do have the jacket. it's like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Where'd you get that jacket, Steve? That looks good.
I think we have a slight disagreement on this matter.
Many thought like Cutback Davis was the surfer to beat today, but it was Jeff Spicoli that wound up wearing the jacket.
If you were looking for a place with Fast Times at Ridgemont High references, you've come to the right place. Steve Fezzik, everybody. Thank you always, as always, for coming in here. Good luck with your investment.
Best bet, Jaguars.
Jaguars plus six this weekend. That's your best bet. Thank you, Steve. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports. He's not the nicest guy at Fezzik Sports, but you may enjoy it anyway. Just tell it like it is. Steve Fezzik, everybody, here on the show. Dr. Bob on the other side with his college football plays. He's got a couple coming up. Numbers Game, Beast in the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget the top of the hour right after Numbers Game. Stay tuned to VSiN for Money Moves with Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. The band is back together. Noon Eastern, top of the hour. Then stick around for Prop Points with John Hansen at 2 p.m., followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 p.m. That is your VSiN lineup coming up starting after this on Numbers Game. We still have Dr. Bob standing by. First, some tweets, though. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. This is from Jack Hannon. To put it in perspective how bad Deshaun Watson is, he's a better man than he is a quarterback. All right. This is from Joe. Let's see. Oh, Joe C714, Derek Stevens and everybody here at Circus Sports tried to, or not tried to, but offered $100,000 to UNLV to pay Matthew Sluka to make this happen so that Matthew Sluka, their quarterback, would stay. That conversation didn't go very far, though, with UNLV saying the matter is done and Sluka is off. But hopefully it makes the relationship between Circa and UNLV a thing moving in the near future. Moving forward, I should say. Sam Ginsberg: always enjoy listening to Steve Fezzik, but let him know that actuaries generally aren't so interesting. And the old saying is, actuaries are the only ones accountants are allowed to make fun of. And then Spence at Spence CC chimes in, says, best moment on the show today. Gil to Steve, quote, you are a ridiculous human being. Well, sometimes he is a ridiculous human being. But we love him nonetheless, Steve Fezzik. Ladies and gentlemen, we love this guy as well. He had the audacity, the actual nerve, the chutzpah to lose a bet on this show last week, which lowers his number. He split, by the way, his two bets, which lowers his record this year on the show to 6-1. It's the great Dr. Bob. You can follow him at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing all right. I'm on top of my game this week. I'm sort of ahead of schedule. I don't know, maybe the kids haven't been bothering me as much or something, but anyway, I'm on top of it. So feeling good.
Those pesky kids. I see you really warm to fatherhood, Bob. You've really warmed to it.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind them. It's just, it's 4 months of the season when I'm buried.
Yeah.
They get used to me being around and being fun daddy. And then for football season comes around and the door is shut, you know, and then I see them just around bedtime. You know, so they get a little, I just don't quite understand.
I understand.
Do you like your house? Do you like your house? Do you like your toy? Do you? Okay, then. Let daddy work.
Oh, wow. Nothing like making your kids know where their bread is buttered. Well done,
teaching
Bob.
Teaching them work ethic.
That's right. Okay. Let's get to college football this weekend. By the way, you're 6-1 this year on the show. What are you lifetime on this show?
112-80-2, 58-point-something%.
That is right in line with how you perform beyond this show, but you do very well. It's a little magic on this show for sure, 58%. Again, no guarantee that that will be the percentage moving forward, but 58%, we all can make a lot of money. Let's start with Washington at Rutgers. This is a game tonight, Bob, in college football. Yeah. UW coming off a thumping of Northwestern. They've only lost to their rivals Wazoo this year, and Rutgers, 3-0, though they were up, I think, 16 on Virginia Tech this past week and needed a field goal with 2 minutes left to stave off the comeback, and they got the victory. How do you see this? Washington at Rutgers with the Scarlet Knights favored by a point.
Well, as you know, I took the +3 early in the week with Washington because that is a stupid line, and Washington should be favored. The line's down to 1.5 or 1 right now, but still like Washington. I don't understand why they're an underdog at in the game at all. I mean, they should be favored by at least a field goal. I know, you know, Rutgers coach Greg Schiano is a good coach, but people are forgetting how good of a job Jed Fish did at Arizona and turning them around the last few years. And he's got a lot more to work with at Washington than he had at Arizona. You know, they entered the season short on experience because a lot of those guys left. That were in the national championship game last year, but they were still number 30 in overall talent rating. Rutgers, number 53 in talent rating coming into the season. And Washington has been better than expected, while Rutgers has been Rutgers. I mean, they're fine. But 3-0, I mean, two of the wins were Howard and Akron. And they only had the big lead last week because they were getting turnovers. The end of the game, +2 in turnovers against Virginia Tech, were outgained, outplayed 5.6 yards per play to 5.9 yards per play. So it's not like they should have won that game by more. The only reason they were up by double digits was because of turnovers, and they were outplayed in the game, basically. Washington's not only more talented, they're better on offense, they're better on defense. I really like the transfer quarterback they brought into Rudd Fish's offensive system. It's Will Rogers, who spent some years at Mississippi State. He's had nearly 2,000 career pass attempts. He's completed 70% of those. And you'll do even better in Fish's system. He's completed 76% of his passes this year. Not a fluke. Noah Fifita was Fish's quarterback at Arizona last year. He completed 72% of his passes at Arizona last season. In the new offense this year, Fifita's at 64% completion. So the system that Fish has elevates, you know, a quarterback. And that has been the case with Will Rogers, is averaging like 8.5 yards per pass play. And it's not just the quarterback. Jonah Coleman was Fish's running back at Arizona last year. He ran for 1,200 yards, over 6 yards a carry last year for the Wildcats. He's got 373 yards this year at 6.7 yards per run. So their offense is very good. Now, Rutgers, of course, known for their defense, and that's fine. But, you know, they've allowed 4.8 yards per play. But like I said, they played Akron and Howard. The teams they faced would average 4.8 yards per play against an average defensive team. So far, they've been about average defensively. I do think they're better than that. I have them rated at 0.4 yards per play, better than average defensively. That's not great, though. That's normal kind of Big Ten level. I mean, it's nothing special. And Washington's offense has been 1.5 yards per play better than an average team so far when they've had their starters in the game. I don't think they'll be quite that good going forward. Some regression of the mean, probably, but they've been good on offense. Now, the other side of the ball, you've got Rutgers' offense, which is mediocre going against a good Washington defense. The quarterback for Rutgers is Ethan Kaliagmanis, who was the quarterback at Minnesota the last 2 years. 2 years at Minnesota, he completed 53% of his passes. He's been better this year, just a little bit over 60%. But like I said, playing Howard and Akron will help anyone's completion percentage. And he's not going to continue to average 14.5 yards per completion going forward. Now, Washington has allowed just – they played press coverage, and they've allowed 43% completions and only 41% to the two power teams they faced, and that includes Washington State. The other one was Northwestern. So they will shut you down. They don't allow receivers to run wild open. And Kaliagmanis is not an accurate quarterback. You got an inaccurate quarterback going into Washington defense allowing 43% completions. And the run game looks good for Washington on paper, 5.7 yards per rushing play. But the teams they face would allow 5.9 to an average offense. So they have not actually been good running the ball. They just face teams that can't stop the run. And Washington has a better than average run defense. Washington is clearly better on offense, clearly better on defense. And the one game they lost, and this might be why we're getting points, is because they lost to Washington State. But they outgained Washington State by 80 yards and 7.0 yards per play to 6.1 yards per play. They were not outplayed by Washington State. So Washington is a better team getting points. I'll sign up for that anytime.
All right, it's +1. Would you just play the money line at this point?
Oh, you could take the one if you want, but I don't think it matters that much. Money line, the value's about the same.
Okay. Northern Illinois at North Carolina State. Most people remember Northern Illinois for beating Notre Dame, of course, for upsetting the Irish. But then they came back from a bye. They lose in overtime to Buffalo. They're at NC State. NC State has been choppy. They've traded wins and losses. The losses to Clemson and Tennessee. Northern Illinois at NC State. What's the play?
Yeah, you know, they beat Notre Dame, of course. They could not avoid the letdown. Even after a bye week,
yeah.
You know, the coach was doing his media tour and everything during the bye week. They still lost to Buffalo. They didn't actually play poorly in that game. They outgained Buffalo 362 yards to 185 yards. They should have won by double digits, somehow lost the game. So maybe that is giving us some value here, but they didn't play that poorly. The defense continues to play well. I have Northern Illinois rated right around where the market rates them, a few points worse than an average team. But NC State is an overrated team. They've struggled on offense. They've only gained 5.3 yards per play. The four teams they face would allow 5.6 to an average team. On defense is where the problem is. They lost an All-American linebacker who had been there for years, Wilson. He's gone, and apparently the defense has gone with him. They're allowing 7.2 yards per play. The teams they face, they have to face Tennessee and Clemson. The teams they face, though, combined would average 6.2 yards per play against an average defense. So they've been a yard per play worse than average. It's not just Tennessee and Clemson racking it up. They allowed 6.3 yards per play to Western Carolina, an FCS team that they struggled to beat in the opener. And against Louisiana Tech, who's not good offensively, they allowed 6.1 yards per play to Louisiana Tech. And remember, that game was tied late until they pulled away and won by 10 as a 21-point favorite. So they're really struggling defensively. And what they cannot do is stop the run. They allow 6.8 yards per rushing play. That's a problem against Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois loves to run the ball. But I like Northern Illinois plus the point.
Huskies and Huskies. Washington and Northern Illinois. UW and Northern Illinois. Those are the plays. Both dogs in their respective games. Bob, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
The great Dr. Bob, everybody. We've done all we can do. Money Moves with Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson today. Coming up, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.